Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Over the summer, I had an opportunity to spend a week with 30-some young children in vacation Bible school. And in one of our conversations here, I asked each grade to describe heaven for me. And you can imagine their responses. Food, of course, was at the top of the list. As was independence. No longer restrained by the rules of their parents or loved ones, they were free to make their own decisions. And not one of those decisions involved bedtimes or broccoli or school. Of course, there were pets, there were sweets, rivers flowing with chocolate, and toys, a lot of toys. And you see, heaven for them was just a better version of what they were already familiar with. Now, for us, the answer might be different. It might not include candy or bedtimes, but what does it include? What is heaven for us? To some, it's a place where there is no longer any pain, or a place where our loved ones are waiting for us. And all of that is true, absolutely. But at the very core of that answer, doesn't it just sound like heaven is another thing to experience? Doesn't the answer almost make it sound like we're placed on this roller coaster at birth, and at our death, we exit it and make our way to the next one? And a ride that is much longer, but causes us no fear, no anxiety, and no pain. Ride where all of our friends experience it with us. There's little wonder that we think of it this way, because we truly have never experienced anything like heaven. So we really can't describe it, because it really is unimaginable. And so, because we can't, we do what is normal, and we apply what we do know to that which we don't. But you see, when we do this, we're left filling in the spaces of the unknown with our own limited imagination, and that affects our anticipation. Because we don't know what we don't know, any message about yearning for heaven tends to ring hollow, the anticipation subdued, the appreciation taken for granted. And all this because what we're doing is we're viewing heaven by looking up. And what I mean is that if we see heaven as just another place, when we see the pearly gates is just an entrance into a new world, it's natural to compare it to our current lives, our current earth. And even wonder, is the grass really that much greener? Is it really going to be unimaginably great? Or will it simply just be imaginable? Now, if you were anything like me as a child, when I read the first verse of our gospel passage, I wondered if heaven was really where I wanted to end up. And listen to it from the child's perspective. We'll start in verse 11. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. praising God 24/7 sure didn't sound like the kind of heaven I wanted to spend my eternity in. Where were the toys and the food? Where were the parties? Where were the gifts that would keep on giving? My heaven would be an eternal life spent exploring the far reaches of God's universe, the galaxies and the stars and the planets. I could never imagine heaven being like an endless worship service and one that I would enjoy. It's not the heaven that I would have been interested in as a child. What about you? You may not consider heaven as a base camp for exploration, but maybe you consider it as a meeting place for reunion. And today, we celebrate all of those who have gone before us, but with an incomplete understanding of where they have gone and why they have gone, even our celebration tends to ring hollow. And we can comfort ourselves with reminders of heavenly reunions. But is that really where Jesus wants us to put all of our joy? Just the reunions of others? I long to see those who have gone before me. I look forward to their embraces, to hear their voices again. But I also know that as amazing as that will be, there's something even more wonderful that awaits me. And if I focus only on my loved ones, I miss out on what heaven really is. See, in our humanity, we often look up to heaven with an incomplete view. We anticipate these reunions with our precious families and friends, but that only provides a thin sliver of what waits for us, like a single brush stroke for a painting. So this morning, I'd like to try and paint a different picture, one maybe that is a little bit more complete. To see it, we must not only look up, but we have to look down. We have to view heaven by viewing it through the lens of hell. For hell is the antithesis of heaven. Direct opposite. Direct opposition to each other. Hell's not a place, just a place. Hell is an existence where the condemned live in eternal separation with God and all that is good. And I can't even begin to imagine what it would be like not to experience God's presence in my life. But I can't imagine that lacking this relationship with God would trump any physical feature of that place. And I wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter how hot the fire. That would be minor compared to the separation from God. That is where we were headed. And we were fine with it. Because we believed hell was just a destination, probably one that we could adapt to. And even today, if you ask others to describe hell, they'll talk in terms of fire and suffering, but rarely will they talk about it in terms of relationship with God. And we tend not to understand or even appreciate how horrible eternal existence is apart from Him, because we have no experience with anything like that. And so we think of it, of course, in terms of physical location. And because we couldn't comprehend existence without the Creator, because we really didn't know what that truly meant, Christ took the solution upon Himself. God sent His Son to take on our sin, to become our sin, and to experience that separation so that we never would have to. And then he took the victory that he achieved and he freely handed it to us. He didn't save us simply just from an eternity without God. Nor did he simply just give us access to God's presence. Jesus didn't defeat death just so that we could enter a doorway into another world. His victory did far more than can be described in spatial terms. You see, heaven is not just about a place. It's not just about the people. It's like hell is a complete separation from God. Heaven is a complete union with Him. And Paul writes in Galatians, he says, "I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me." See, in baptism, we are joined with Christ, not only in His death, but also in His resurrection. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And this union doesn't disintegrate when we die. It's quite the opposite. We experience the fullness of that relationship. We will experience God in ways that we could never have imagined. In our passage this morning, we read about some of those that have gone before us. "After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" See, that multitude, they were not worshiping because they had to. They were worshiping because they couldn't contain themselves. They stood before the throne because there was no other place that they would rather be. Now, there may be candy forests, and there surely will be loved ones. But if you ask any of these, they'll tell you it at that moment. And for all eternity, they are preoccupied with who is on the throne. That right now, all they're able to do is worship, because everything else simply seems secondary. See, heaven to them, it's not about the what or the where, but it's all about the who. And the who is on the throne. And it's just possible that eternity is not going to be long enough for them to worship and praise Him. Now, I may not have the ability to imagine it, but I trust God when He tells me that it will be better than I can imagine. That is what I'm looking forward to. What about you? Please pray with me. "Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them in His presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.